This is the Uncover You podcast, and I'm Eva Berunius. I'm here to help you navigate your transformational journey so you can experience the you underneath the conditioning and unconscious beliefs. You always find the show notes over at selfmasteryandbeyond.com. Let's get to the core of things. Here's today's episode. Hi there. Today, I'm going to talk about the survival state, understanding it better, and see how it might seep into your self-awareness, your self-mastery, your healing work that you're doing, so that you can recognize it and maybe change your strategy or change your approach to when that state, when that reactive state shows up. So let's first talk about what the survival state is, or what I'm referring to when I'm saying the survival state. So it's when your brain picks up a signal from your nervous system, which can come through input from your senses, something that triggers this response in you. It could be a sound, it could be a smell, it could be a memory, it could also be something inside of you, you thinking of something, you associating something, or it could be an actual thing going on, of course, in your external environment. But so your nervous system sends the signal to your brain and says, danger, time to shift over from the prefrontal cortex with your cognitive thinking and back into your amygdala, your old brain, your primal brain, we could call it your reptile brain. And all, you know, celebration to your amygdala and your old brain, because that's what's kept you alive. And not just you personally, but, you know, the human race, humanity, keeping us safe from danger, so that you could make decisions and take action way faster than your prefrontal cortex, your cognitive thinking could ever do. So as we're talking about all this, and I know this happens a lot when we talk about stress or stress response or trauma response, we tend to feel like, why is my brain doing that thing? Why does it just kind of take me away into this reactive state? And it's easy to maybe feel a little victimized by it because we don't feel in control. And it might be easy to kind of blame it, or having a relationship to this part of your being, your part of your system, that's not so kind or friendly, maybe. So I want to take this, before we dive into this, I want to take this opportunity to kind of also celebrate it and see how freaking smart it is, you know? How wise, how automatic it shifts us into a different gear, how it starts pumping blood faster into our limbs so we can, you know, run away or do whatever we need to, and how it just mixes up a whole cocktail of hormones, of chemicals in our body. So, okay, that's my celebration, my hymn to your amygdala and your survival response. But with that in mind, yes, there are times when this is a helpful response, and there are times when it's not. And the thing is that your brain can't tell the difference between if something is actually happening to you outside, like, oh, you're stepping out into the streets and you're not looking around and there's a car coming at you, and something registers this. Something in you registers it and just quickly, you know, pulls back or do something. So that's an actual situation where this response is, of course, really good. But your brain can't tell the difference between if you're actually thinking and kind of reliving, re-experiencing something like that inside of you internally. If you're thinking about what or imagining what other people might be saying about you right now and imagining that that's something unfavorable or something critical, you might have the exact same response as you were stepping out into the street and needed to be pulled back. Even if you're sitting at home in your kitchen table and you're completely safe. So the reason I'm talking about this is that it's so common. Like, we tend to live in that reactive state way more than we're aware of. Because we talk about this, the survival state and the response from it, as something, you know, yeah, we compare it with tigers or stepping out into the street and the stress response. But often we're functioning at this really, really low stress response kind of all the time. And we've normalized it for ourselves. We see others doing it. Our mirror neurons fire because the rest of society is doing a similar thing. So it's so normalized and we don't really realize that we're in this reactive state a lot of the time. So there are some responses or reactions to getting into this survival state. And we talked about one of them, like you step out into the street, you pull back. That's the flight response, stepping in. And I'm sure you've heard these, the fight, flight, or freeze response. And today we're even going to talk about a fourth one, which is called fawn. So four Fs, fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. And these are all kind of reactions or responses to being put in that survival state. So the body interprets the situation as like, okay, there's danger, there's unsafety. I need to prioritize surviving. And now your old brain kicks in and takes over the show. And you don't have much to say about it when it reaches this point. You can, at a certain point, become more aware of when you're shifting into this, and especially when it comes to these, what do we want to call them, unnecessary survival states, when we go into this response, even if there's not a car coming at us, okay? So you can build your awareness and kind of slow them down and have them lessen. But, I mean, you do want to keep them if you're stepping out into the street and there's a car coming at you, okay? So it's not about taking that away. But anyway, your old brain is now taking over the show and deciding what you're going to do without you making a cognitive decision about that. So the different responses, fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. Let's talk a little bit about them. Fight is, of course, when you're ready to defend yourself, ready to fight the danger off, like going full in, I'm not backing down, I'll fight you to death kind of thing. And the flight response is when your brain decides to run, that the smartest thing to do is just to get out of there. Like with that car coming at you in the streets, fighting it is probably not the best option. And your primal brain has a sense of that. So it says, recoil, like go back, pull back. It might be that you're sensing a fight response after that. So the first impulse will be flight, to get out of there. And then anger might be coming out over you and like, bah, who was that driver? Why didn't they see me? So responding with anger, that fight response in combination with flight can completely happen. It's totally natural, normal as well. Let's look at the freeze response, because one way of looking at this is like the fight or flight response are the natural instincts that we have. Like, you either get the hell out of there or you fight. You stand up and fight and hopefully scare that scary enemy away. But sometimes those options are not available to us. Probably even more so now in our society that we live in. And we'll talk more about that. But if there's not an option to run away, to get out of there, and if there's not an option to fight, it's easy that we get stuck in a freeze response, which means we're not moving forward and we're not moving back. It's like having one foot on the gas and one foot on the brake. So even if it might sound like and look like nothing is happening, there's a lot going on internally when someone is in a freeze response. There's a big conflict, a push and pull, and feeling like there's no way out or there's no way of making a decision or taking an action. So that's why we get stuck in that freeze response. That freeze response can look a little different for different people and in different situations. Sometimes it might look more normal in a way of, it seems like this person is still behaving normally, like they're engaging, they're nodding, they're responding, but part of them has checked out. So they're not there, they can't really feel their body, they're having a hard time like taking in the situation. So they're kind of dissociated from this situation. Sometimes the freeze looks very much more like a freeze, where the person is not moving, it's not engaging in eye contact, their breathing is kind of shallow, and so the body posture takes on that freeze that you might be feeling inside. So why do we react with the freeze response? Like I mentioned, it's when fight or flight doesn't seem available to us. So imagine that you're growing up, and even though it might not be a big, you know, abusive situation, it definitely could. But even in less threatening situation, just in a situation where you feel unsafe, imagine the conflict of feeling unsafe with your caretakers. So fleeing, like getting out of there, might seem like a bad idea because you're losing safety, comfort, food, roof over your head. So that might not seem like a good option. And it might be that fight was not an option either because it seemed like that led to a bigger threat. Maybe now you were punished. Maybe you were afraid of your own anger and didn't know what was going to happen if you let it out. You were afraid of being a bad person, which had been associated with being angry, was being mean, was being a bad person. You didn't want to be this. So inside of you, this conflict can happen just because of beliefs you have adapted. So it doesn't even have to be a big threatening situation around you. The big threatening situation can be happening inside of you, with fear of the consequences of either your fight or your flight response, and therefore freeze. So that's briefly about the freeze response. And then the fourth one, fawn. Similar to the freeze response, it often happens when we don't feel that we have access to fight or flight. So the fawn response is like a pleasing pattern. It's when you feel that it's on you to make everyone feel good again. So it would be to, when the threat shows up, you just kind of throw your hands in the air, surrender, lay down on the floor, you know, and say it. I give up, I give in, tell me what to do. Tell me what to do so that you won't do anything to me. That's the extreme, exaggerated scenario, of course. But it will show up in a much more subtle way, huh? In your, with the people around you. So it might be the fear of maybe being criticized or being judged or being blamed for something. And now you step in way before that with that fawn response, with making sure, are they happy? Maybe I haven't been kind enough to them. Maybe I haven't done this. Oh, it has been a while since I made sure they had what they needed. So often this becomes so ingrained in us. So we make sure that we respond, even if the blame, the criticism isn't there. We try to foresee it and make sure that we don't have to be the object for it by pleasing. So we could say in this case, in this scenario, we are activating this fawn response, which is, again, it's a survival state in that sense, in ourselves. We have successfully programmed ourselves to go into this pleasing pattern. So is every pleasing pattern, like, because in the self-mastery work, we talk about one of the characters, our inner characters, as a pleaser, huh? Is every time the pleaser comes out, is that survival response? To me, it depends on how we label this, how we look at it. And in a way, it's not that important. But the way I talk about it today in this episode is to see, like, on how that survival response and how our fight, flight, freeze, fawn reaction is kind of happening on low volume, low grade, much more than we are aware of. So in that sense, yes, it's a survival reaction when our pleaser comes in. It's also a survival reaction when our judge steps in, you know, even though he's got more of the fight to him. And after repeating this survival reactive state enough times, it can also become a habit. It's so ingrained in you. So, like I mentioned, with the foreseeing criticism and try to please beforehand to not having to experience it, you can have programmed yourself so it becomes a habit. So even if you don't notice the stress response, like that survival state shift, it probably came from that to begin with. And now it's a pattern that happens even without you noticing that you've shifted into a reactive state. So it's a little tricky to slice it out, or it can be a little complex that way. Of course, we're talking about the unconscious mind. What would you expect? To understand that it comes from this survival state to begin with will also help you track it. It will help you trace it. It will help you by more embodiment, feel into your body, what happens when I go into pleasing? Like, what happened before that? Is there a fear? Am I even aware of the fear? Like, why did I go into this state? And the better you get at this, the more awareness you build around your bodily, your physical response in this state, you'll be better and better at tracking it. You will notice when you shift in to the survival state, and you'll be able to tell yourself what's happening in your body, because it will be different for all of us. Okay, so we've talked about what the survival state is and the fight, flight, freeze, fawn response. And like I mentioned, I really want to emphasize how common this is. We could say this is what we live in when we talk about we're, you know, hooked up to the matrix, when we are not yet awake to our own patterns, to how our belief system is driving our behavioral patterns, our reactions, our interactions with others, our decision-making process. So it's very, very common. This is the state that most of us live from. Some of us more on that low-grade, level, and some are like that roller coaster of constantly being pulled into a very, very high stress state where your brainwave state shifts into high beta and your whole body responds to it. So how is this relevant to how you might be doing the self-mastery work or other self-awareness or healing work? Because of course your patterns will seep into how you relate to this work as well. Like, it's not a little safe haven bubble where none of that shows up. Because doing this work is also probably connected with a lot of things, is associated with a lot of things for you. Might be associated with learning, being in school, learning new things, stretching, and how comfortable you are with that, how confident you feel about learning new things. It might be around like consistency, showing up, taking responsibility, be that your own leader. And all of those things might have had, you know, hundreds of associations in your unconscious minds, which makes you react and respond to doing this work, showing up for the practices, listening to this episode, but probably more likely so to how you do the work yourself. When you sit down to journal, when you do a meditation or a focus exercise, whatever it is. So let's look at how these four responses might be showing up in doing healing work, self-awareness work. What would that look like? Let's start with the fight response. So if you're doing this work from the fight response, you are doing it like the warrior. You're probably digging in and doing a lot. Like, you're listening to everything there is to listen to. You're journaling a lot. You're just absorbing material. And you believe, unconsciously maybe, that the more effort you put in, like, I'm going to fight, warrior my way through this. And with all these responses, and you'll see, there's pros and cons. Like, they can help us moving further. So in this case, you're probably showing up for the work. You're probably doing a lot of it. But can you notice if it's also like from that reaction that is based in fear, basically, from a belief that this is how things need to go? It's someone who has a hard time putting down the work, you know, when you just keep going and going and going, kind of pushing yourself and pushing yourself. You might see this show up in your work. If you have a hard time putting your work down, but you just keep going and going and going, it's like this fight response is on, like, put a little longer, I can do this too. So it might not look like that warrior in the old tribe standing up to fight a bear or a fighting tribe, an enemy tribe. You're not hostile in that way. You're not aggressive in that way. But can you see that there's aggression in how you are approaching the work, and that you have this unconscious drive to just like keep going and going and more and more and more? Like, you're plowing your way into the work. So that's an example of the fight response and how it can show up. Let's look at the flight, the get the hell out of there response. So that would probably look like avoidance, for example. Avoidance, just like, no, I don't think I have time to do this today. Let's get out of here. There are more fun things to do. I really think that I should be doing this instead. How about this TV show that just came out, a new episode? Let's do that instead. It can also look like kind of denial. You might be, this is a little more sneaky, a little more tricky. It might look like you might be talking about doing the work, you might have all the concepts down. You know, you're listening to stuff, but when it comes to sitting down and doing some inventory, some journaling, actually doing some meditation practices yourself, you're not really doing it. But there might be a denial in you saying like, yeah, I'm doing it. And there might also be denial about your patterns, for example. You might see things and then like, no, we've kind of forgotten it by the next day and they weren't really there and that wasn't really important. So it's kind of like overlooking things or skimming at the surface. So that's a flight response. And when it comes to the most kind of clear expression of the flight response, it's when you want to burn everything down and start over. Like you're like, I've had it, I tried this, it's not getting anywhere, I'm so sick and tired of having these reactions showing up again and again. No, screw this. Like, I don't want to do it anymore. Or this teacher is not working, these techniques are not working, I'm just going to get rid of this and try something else. This might also be when you're jumping around a lot between different teachings without being comfortable to stay with something for a longer period of time, without being comfortable with like doing the long-term work, running the marathon instead of sprinting and expecting things to just change. So the burn everything down, let's start all over again, let's get on the plane and start a new life somewhere else. Yeah, that's the flight response, and it can show up when you're trying to get away from a certain technique or modality and just like, something is better over here instead. Freeze response then, how might that show up? Well, it's kind of when you might sit in front of your journal and just blank. Nothing shows up. It's almost like this brain fog. You can't even think. You can't formulate a thought. And get me right here. I mean, there might be several reasons for that. You might not get enough sleep. You might be sick, have vitamin deficiency, whatever it is. That might also cause that. But if you have a sense that there's like this disassociation almost, like you're not fully there, and it's hard to grasp, and it's hard to look at these patterns. Yeah, well, that might be a freeze response. It might also show up as just getting stuck in things. You're reading the same thing over and over again. You can't take it in. You are journaling, and you say you're going to sit down to journal for 20 minutes, but then like feels like an hour later, you've got nothing done. And you've just written a few sentences. It might also be that you pick up your phone and start scrolling, and there's like this endless scrolling going, and you're not even aware of what you're doing. That's much more of a freeze response when it comes to, yeah, that is seeping into this work. And then the phone. I think this one is really fascinating how it can show up when doing this work, because it both has an external expression. Like I have a lot of clients that might show up, you know, to their coaching session with me or in a live call in a group setting or in a course, whatever it is. And they're like, yeah, I just sat down to do this an hour before the call, or I did my homework last night. So there's this sense of pleasing the teacher or pleasing someone external or like in a group setting of like, I don't want to show up and be the one who hasn't done this. And the fear of that, what other people will think, or just the discrepancy in like how I see myself. Like I'm an ambitious person who does the practices, or I'm a spiritually evolved person who does this. Like if that doesn't fit with, oh shit, I'm showing up to class or the session and haven't done my stuff, well, that's highly uncomfortable. Let's make sure we're policing this. So again, in a sense, well, could be good. In this sense, it's driving us forward. We're taking care of actually doing the practices, but it's from a more anxious state, even if we're not aware of it. It's from a fearful, reactive state instead of us actually planning time to do the work and do it because we want to instead of this fawn response. So that's one way that it can show up in like unconsciously trying to please others to avoid their criticism or avoid being seen in a way that we don't want to be seen. But it's also really fascinating how I see this show up inside of us. It's like we have this fawn response, and in a way we have all these responses, fight, flight, freeze, fawn, inside of us, happening between our characters. Huh? In the self-mastery work, we talk about these kind of sub-personalities of the mind, of the hero and the victim and the judge and the pleaser and the prostitute and all of these parts. And they're interacting with each other. So imagine that your inner judge steps up and say, like, you haven't done this well enough. And the victim's like, no, I haven't. I'm totally useless and worthless. And then often some of us have this fixer that steps in. Okay, we don't want to have it this way. Let's make sure that the judge is happier. So can you see that it senses this threat, this unsafety inside of us, in our internal world, and make sure to fix that, to please the judge, for example. Some of us might not have this pleasing response. It might be that we stay in the victim and just feeling worthless. It might be that, we have a lone wolf that avoids those situations, that withdraw, that says, oh, we don't really need anyone or anything. We don't want to engage with the world. And of course, the judge in itself is more in a fight response. It's like, we have to do something. Someone has to do something about this. This is not okay. So can you see that our inner characters are the one that are kind of acting out these stress survival state responses? And some of them might have a few of them inside of themselves, but often they're kind of stereotypical, like one pleaser and one fighter. And the fighting can go in different directions. Huh? We can have a hero that's fighting the world, or and the judge kind of fighting us or the way we're doing things and thinking it will get its way. It can protect us by fighting, by punishing us. Or another part of us, usually the victim. So I think it's really interesting with the fawn response, but also the others, to look at how is this playing out inside of us? How do we have this internal reaction again and again and again happening? And how is that putting you into the stress response, into the survival state? Because like we began this episode, like, the brain doesn't tell the difference between it happening outside of you or inside of you. And when you have this loop stemming from your unconscious beliefs, of course, and then your character reacting to them again and again and again, yes, you're in that reactive state most of the time. A lot of us just wakes up there and we're there. And then if we have some kind of practice, we usually sit down in the morning and we dig ourselves out of that hole and we do some breathing and we check in with our parts and maybe do some journaling or whatever it is. And then we start feeling a little better. That's when we have shifted out of that reactive state that some of us just wake up in. So what to do about all this? Maybe you started seeing like, okay, I think I might be in a survival state way more than I thought I was. And in that, and if that's you, I say, well, congratulations for seeing it. And there's hope. Okay. But the hope might not be, or the way out of this might not be what you think it is. Or I can tell you for sure, it's not what you think it is, because that's the whole point of this. We can't really think our way out of the survival state. Because like I said, it's happening in your amygdala. It's happening in your primal brain. That primal brain was kind of created. It got wired both in yourself before you had words, but it also, like, evolutionary, it comes from a time when we were much more animal than human. So it was there before words. So you trying to reason with it, you trying to, you know, with logic, tell it that it doesn't have to react that way. It's not going to help. And this is when I saw it was a really beautiful discussion and post and a thread in the community about reframing, about again and again reframing or telling a different story. Or looking at things from a different perspective. Like, maybe the story that my mind is telling me is not the only possible thing. Maybe people are not talking or criticizing me behind my back right now. Maybe someone is looking at me from across the room for a completely different reason. Or maybe they are, you know, that's the kind of practice of reframing. It's great. It puts many of the self-mastery practices together. And if you're in a survival state, if you're in a stress response, it most likely won't work. It might even add, because a part of your brain might still be online and you hear these like logical thinking, kind of like, well, maybe it's not because of that this is happening and you know, I should just shift out of it and look at it from a different viewpoint. Or why are you thinking this way? Why are you reacting this way? That will most likely add to your stress response, to your survival state at that point. And no matter how much you think that you know that there's another option, your body, your whole nervous system is not experiencing that at this time. So this is where you're invited to get out of your head and take, you know, that self-mastery further into your body, like out of from your analytical thinking and the mapping and the inventorying and figuring it out, and start learning some real good tools for your body and for soothing, for regulating your nervous system. Because if this shows up for you when you're doing the work, like, then your priority should be to regulate your nervous system first and foremost. Because trying to do your inventory from here, trying to do the journaling or whatever it is, like something up in your head, is not going to help. It's not going to get you further or deeper into understanding anything about yourself. Because you're now going in loops. You're reacting to things that you're thinking. So priority, get into your body. First of all, get to know what your survival state feels like in your body, because it can be a little different for some of us. Is it heart rate going up? Do you feel tingling sensation? Do you feel numb? Do you feel like a whooshing in your head? Do you feel maybe a beeping? I used to have this sensation that it felt like I was bleeding from my ears. This might sound very, it's really hard to describe that feeling. It was not like blood was running out of them, but it was just this feeling of overwhelm and like some sensation of bleeding through my ears. So getting to know what that feels like in your body so that you can recognize when it's happening, very, very important. And then to learn some techniques to soothe your nervous system. And your nervous system and your primal brain speaks the language of sensation. It's somatic, it's physical. So you need to get down there and be physical with it. Like, it's going to be maybe like touching your skin, stroking your legs. It might be like even embracing yourself, kind of squeeze your shoulders, feel that you're here. It might be making sounds, and the vibration that the sound is making is impacting your vagus nerves, and now your body and your brain is responding to that. It's definitely your breathing, getting some good movement in your diaphragm. It's making soothing noises to yourself, all these things. So you need to get down and speak the language of the nervous system and not stay up in your head. And this is a fun, you know, opportunity challenge. It might also seem challenging, especially if you're someone like me that's been hiding out in their minds for most of their life. But I'll tell you that you'll learn a lot, and this will take you to the next kind of level of self-mastery, where you're not just doing the self-mastery from your head, but really getting to know your body and what's happening inside of you, in more parts of your being than just your mind. So there are many ways to explore this. There are several resources out there for nervous system regulation. And if you would like to, if you find that this is like fascinating and something that is probably would be helpful to learn more about, so that you can become more efficient also when doing the self-mastery work, because that's kind of my point here. If you're trying to do the self-mastery work from this reactive survival state, you won't be getting very far. Like, you're not getting down into both seeing clearly, shifting into that observer state, and shifting your brainwave state into getting in touch with your emotions, getting more in touch with your unconscious patterns. For that, you need to be able to shift, to relax your nervous system. So if you learn how to do this, then also when you actually do sit down to do some inventory, some focus exercises, you'll get deeper in there. So if you're interested in doing this, I'm going to do a workshop in the end of February that I'm really excited about, because it's kind of a collection. It's a big mix of things, but it's going to be like a self-mastery workshop that where I've gathered practices, insights that have both helped me on my own journey, and also that I teach my kind of one-on-one clients at specific times on their journey. So it's a collection. We're going to look more at characters. We're going to use kind of a categorizing model, which will help you understand your characters even better and understand their motivations. You'll also understand the unmet needs behind them. And we're going to talk a lot, and we're going to explore the survival state. You're going to have the chance to inventory. Where does it show up for you? And I'll guide you through that process, and also in ways of soothing your nervous system. So you're going to get to try some things out. And we're also going to set up your practice moving forward. So you get some coaching on setting up your practice in a way that you actually enjoy. You get to decide how to do that, depending on where on this journey you're at. I'll give you guidance around that in this workshop. So I'm really excited about sharing this. It's been kind of been gathering all these little practices, insights, nuggets to take you deeper, because sometimes it's that one little thing or shift that can make a big like pivot and just take you further in this work. So if you are interested in that, you don't have to have done the Self-Mastery One course. Maybe you're moving through it now. Maybe you're more curious. Or maybe you've done it a while ago and just like need some more inspiration, recommitting to it. Get some more like fire and passion for it again. So whatever stage you're in with this work, you're very, very welcome to that. if you're listening to when this episode came out, it will be February 26th to 27th, so you can join live. If you're listening to this episode after that, this workshop will be available, so you can get it later. Okay, I hope this was helpful in understanding that survival state, in understanding that you might be in it more than you have realized, and to get to know the different your different responses to it. Also, in doing this work, is where you can help yourself, is where you can move deeper into mastery of self, of shifting out of that state so you can dive deeper into taking apart your unconscious beliefs and your old programming. Thank you so much for listening. I wish you a lovely day. Thank you for listening. And if this was helpful to you, I appreciate a review in the podcast app that you're using. Until next week.